WATH Athens.
Check, check. There we go. Must have been a loose connection right there. Hey, good morning, folks. Welcome. It's a Monday edition, Thanksgiving week, November 20th. And we got the party line, as expected.
I'll tell you something, Dave. Hopefully, that's the third and final gremlin of the morning to creep into this studio. It's been one of those days.
Well, what else has happened?
Well, just weird stuff on the board all day. But the microphone, I'm like, what is wrong now? But thankfully, cool minds prevailed and you got yourself online.
All I did was wiggle this little connector.
And sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah. Well, let's see here. It's a whole new week and a holiday week and all that sort of thing. So many things to talk about, so we'll just jump in today, a free-for-all. All right, so Thanksgiving. Imagine that. Imagine us talking about it. Okay, now, first of all, there's the food issues, right?
Yeah.
So, breaking down the data for the state of Ohio.
Let's hear it.
Question one. When asked, what are your favorite leftover dishes after Thanksgiving? Okay, the number one response, roast turkey. No surprise. Number two, stuffing. Three, mashed potatoes. Four, pumpkin pie. Five, apple pie. Six, rolls or bread. Seven, gravy. Going on now, deviled eggs. Honey glazed ham, sweet potatoes, casserole dishes, cranberry sauce, green beans, pecan pie, yams, corn, Brussels sprouts, grilled vegetables, and other.
An absolute cornucopia of victuals.
Mercy.
What exactly would you consider to be your favorite delicacy on that list that you just rattled off?
Oh, you know, I don't like volumes of anything. I like a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You know what I mean? I like the variety of flavors.
I do, too. It's my favorite meal of the year, by far. We only eat turkey. I shouldn't say we only eat it once a year, but no more than twice. But that meal is never repeated except when Thanksgiving comes around. It's my favorite.
Well, let's see here. What else do we have on this? Most popular roast turkey ranks number one in 41 states. Stuffing ranks number two in 7 states.
Is green bean casserole on that list anywhere?
Green beans are listed, not a casserole per se, or let me see here. It's a lengthy report. No, green beans are mentioned.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? That Campbell's dish that Campbell's employee famously...
Isn't it like mushroom soup or something?
Yeah. It says here that it's going to appear on over 20 million tables this Thanksgiving. It was created by one of their employees in the late 50s, early 60s, appeared on the side of a can in the early 1960s, and since then it has just absolutely taken off. And according to Campbell's Soup website, over half of the total sales of cream of mushroom soup take place from November through January. So there you go.
Fair enough. What do you think the most popular serving time is?
I'm going to say 4 o'clock.
Well, it's 2. 20% serve at 2 to 3, 17% 3 to 4, and 14% between 4 and 5.
See, I think that early bird starting time just sets you up to eat another huge meal before you go to bed that night, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but Dave and I were talking before the show started about weight gain during the holidays, and everybody goes, oh, they're going to talk about that. Well, you have to talk about it. I was reading this morning that the average calorie consumption for a standard Thanksgiving Day dinner is like 5,100 plus calories, which translates into 2 to 4 pounds between all the food and libations that you might be drinking during the course of the day. A lot of it gets lost quickly, but it's actually a big chunk of the weight that one puts on during the holiday season if one does that.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, so you're at the Thanksgiving table, and I thought this was an interesting group. It says, when asked what are the top conversations you don't want during Thanksgiving? Okay. 59% said family disputes. Interesting. 52% said politics.
I would have thought that'd be the number one answer myself.
43% said controversial current events or news,
which is usually politics.
32% work. 31% money. 31% religion. 26% relationships. 22% health. And, well, that's basically the list.
That's the list of topics that are least enjoyed?
What are the top conversations
you don't
want?
Right, the ones to avoid. So what are the ones that one should steer to during Thanksgiving dinner? Is that included in that report?
Well, I may have it on another one, but I don't see it.
I mean, that covers a lot of subjects, obviously, and people are going to talk at Thanksgiving. It seems to me like the most happy conversations that I've ever been engaged in during the Thanksgiving holiday, or any holiday for that matter, are the wonderful memories that have been made over the years.
Of course.
During past holidays.
And I think we should focus on that sort of thing, and not all the negative.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Well, let's see here. Today is November 20th. We'll talk about some other Thanksgiving things, I suspect. But on this date, November 20th, the year 284, Roman general, how did you say this?
Diocletian.
Diocletian, proclaimed emperor by armies of the East and West after the death of Carinus.
That sounds good. I think he nailed it, actually.
Okay. Carinus at the Battle of Margus.
Diocletian, Roman emperor from 284 to 305. He restored efficient government to the Roman Empire until his abdication, so evidently he was forced from the throne, so somebody wasn't happy.
Yeah. Let's see, 1695, Zumbi. The last king of the Quilombo dos Palmeiras. Not too bad. In early Brazil, an ex-slave is executed and decapitated. Wonderful. His head displayed on a pike to dispel any legends of his immortality. Oh, dear. The year 1815, the Second Treaty of Paris, France, of course, and her allies agree that France will pay indemnities after Battle of Waterloo. And as a result of that, it's basically, they say, the end of the Napoleonic Wars. 1945, the Nuremberg War Trials begin as 24 Nazi leaders are put on trial before judges representing the victorious Allied powers. 1986, World Health Organization announces the first global effort to combat AIDS. Wow, and we're still messing with that.
More successfully, thankfully, it's actually become treatable. It's not quite the death sentence it was when it was first discovered. It was just a horrible thing. There was like no cure, nothing they could do for it.
Yeah. Well, let's see here. I'm looking at some famous birthdays, and very few of them are familiar to me. Dr. John.
Singer.
Oh, that may be why. Anyway, born on this date in 1941, died in 2019. Kennesha Mountain Landis.
First commissioner of baseball.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. He was brought in...
I'm a bit of a baseball nut, and I didn't know that.
Well, he was brought in after the Black Sox scandal, when the Chicago White Sox allegedly threw, I think it was either the 1919 or 1920 World Series. The Reds won, and the White Sox, who were proclaimed to have one of the best teams in baseball history, were accused of throwing the series. And it ended up where eight individuals on that team, including somebody who that most people say is one of the best baseball players who ever lived, certainly one of the best hitters, Joe Jackson, was banned from the game for life.
Well, going on, let's see, Edwin Hubble.
An astronomer?
Yes, indeed. That one I knew. He was born on this date in 1889. He passed in 1953. And then Wilfrid Laurier. And that doesn't ring a bell for me.
He was a prime minister of Canada from 1896 to 1911. And a Canadian lawyer, statesman, and obviously politician. He was the seventh prime minister of Canada, by the way.
Well, let's see here. What else do we have? Let me mention this story, if you will. Carolyn Harder. Carolyn Harder. That name may be familiar to many of you, or some of you. She was a very active member of this community through the university and other events. She passed away. 82 was her age. And this occurred back in September. She was living at the time in San Diego. But here she served as a faculty member in two vice presidential roles at Ohio University. She's the author of numerous articles and co-authored two books. She also later was the longest serving president out at the University of Nevada. And she did that for 11 years, from 1995 to 2006. And I think I already mentioned she was the first woman to be the president out there. She also was the first female president of State University of New York. And that occurred between 1889 and 1985. We could go on a great deal about her, but I mentioned those for, I mentioned this because many of you may remember her. I certainly knew her and felt that she was a really special person. All right. I came across another thing here. This is kind of like a PSA, but I thought it was worth mentioning. We received an email that says, I just wanted to make sure you were aware of the virtual town hall tonight. Oh, never mind. I don't know how I got this fouled up. This took place last week.
It happens.
It happens.
It happens.
Yes, I'm sorry. Well, anyway, I meant well.
Sure you did. Think it'd probably be helpful, or certainly something to mention right now, worth mentioning, the passing of a former First Lady of the United States.
Absolutely.
Rosalynn Carter passed away yesterday. I think she was 96 years old. She and the former president had been married 77 years. She was one of President Carter's closest confidants and advisors during his time in office. She was one of the first ladies to attend cabinet meetings, which created quite a stir when it was happening. And she and the former president, obviously, after leaving office in 1980, went on to live a very productive life of giving. I mean, you can just rattle off the things that she and her husband have been involved in over the years, not the least of which would be the Carter Center in Atlanta, all of their talks with foreign leaders with the goal of bringing peace to the Mideast and building homes, things like that for Habitat for Humanity. I mean, what a list, and what a great life. Whatever you might think about President Carter as president, and the former First Lady as the former First Lady, you have to admit that these were good people, certainly in love with each other. 77 years, that is just absolutely humbling. Not too many people are blessed with those kind of years, period, but to be married that long to the same person and being hopelessly in love with each other. I think President Carter was quoted as saying in the wake of her passing that, "I always knew that while she was alive, there was somebody on the earth that loved me."
Yeah, it's special.
Yeah, she, great lady.
I had the occasion to shake each of their hands back during my Washington days. And
was he president at the time?
Yes. Yeah, very classy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Rosalynn, however you choose, Carter. 77? No.
77 years of marriage. She was 96.
96.
I think the president is just shy of 100 years old.
Yeah.
He's not doing well either. He's in hospice care. They both were in hospice care over the last several weeks or months.
Well, we haven't really mentioned it, but Hamas continues to be a very serious concern. Israel and Hamas appear to be nearing an international brokered deal for the release of some of the roughly 240 hostages the militant group captured from Israel and hid in Gaza after an October 7th surprise attack. According to reports, under the latest proposal, led by Egypt, Qatar, and the U.S., Hamas would release a number of women and children hostages in exchange for the release of roughly the same number of Palestinian women and children held in Israeli prisons. A short pause in fighting is expected to be part of the deal, though the length of the potential pause is reportedly a sticking point in the negotiations. Meanwhile, at least 31 premature babies and 2,500 civilians, patients, and staff were evacuated from northern Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital, which Israeli forces raided last week and said they discovered the presence of Hamas commander's center inside.
A lot of those babies I read were airlifted to hospitals in Egypt for the care that they need, but it's good that they were able to get those innocent children out.
Finishing this up separately, Yemen's Iran-backed Houthi rebels, I'm not sure of this word, seized an Israeli-linked cargo ship in the Red Sea, taking 25 crew members hostage. The militant group warned it will continue to target Israeli-linked ships until the Israeli-Hamas war ends. Oh, I just noticed one other little blurb here that we were talking about Rosalynn Carter and her passing. In her passing, she became the second longest living former first lady. Who was first?
I'm going to say John Adams' wife.
Bess Truman.
Bess Truman, of course.
Who made it to 97. Nevertheless, as you pointed out earlier, the two Carters hold the record for the longest presidential marriage. All right. SpaceX, its second test flight of its massive 400-feet-tall Starship vehicle, hit new milestones Saturday before ending in a pair of unscheduled explosions. Why am I laughing? That's not meant to be funny. Anyway, after launching from Boca Chica Beach, that's in South Texas, Starship, designed to carry NASA astronauts to the moon and Mars, is the world's tallest and most powerful launch system. The uncrewed vehicle crashed into the Gulf of Mexico. I understand there's a video of that crash. It goes on, the test flight was considered a success by SpaceX as the vehicle traveled farther than the exhibited improvements. Let me read this better. As the vehicle traveled farther than and exhibited improvements from an initial attempt back in April. There we go. Which also ended in an explosion. The latest attempt lasted roughly 8 minutes rather than four. Unlike in the first flight, all of the 33 methane-fueled Raptor engines separated from the booster. Achieving a goal for the second attempt and reaching an altitude of 92 miles. Well, clearly they've got some more work to do on it.
Yeah. The FAA is looking at it, obviously, and I think I read last week that they wanted to put people on board one of these flights relatively soon, and that's obviously not going to be happening anytime soon. But I don't know. Maybe we should be alarmed. Maybe we shouldn't. The truth of the matter is so much of space travel is trial and error, and so many of the early flights in this country ended in similar fashion, with explosions or whatever, until they finally got it right. So I guess it's good that they're testing these vehicles and making sure they work before they actually put human cargo on board.
I think of mechanisms, right? And, you got gears, and you got pulleys, and you got different stuff. Well, The whole concept of making a robotic hand has been, a robotic hand just really is a test. But we have word now that such a thing exists. For the first time, with human-like bones, ligaments, and tendons made with elastic properties using new laser scanning techniques. Well, is this to eventually be a replacement for someone that has lost a limb?
This is something they've been experimenting with for quite some time. I've actually seen some videos of those robotic hands, which are controlled with electrical impulses from the brain, which are somehow attached to the mechanism, which allows finger dexterity and gripping and holding to take place, and other motions that one takes for granted when using their own hands. It's not perfect, but you know, they have to start somewhere.
Well, the Cricket World Cup is over. Australia tops India to win the record 6th Cricket World Cup. And let's see, Max Verstappen wins the 18th Formula One race of the season at Las Vegas. All right. Well, let's see. Scientists 3D print. I'm reading the wrong paragraph. MIT researchers design wearable ultrasound monitor that can imagine organs within the body. Study shows monitor accurately images the bladder and determines how full it is, potentially aiding patients with bladder or kidney issues. All right. Well, we'll find some more here, but let's take a break. Right here on...
Here's what's going on.
Get ready for an exciting November at Burroughs State Park. Discover the wonders of Ohio's wildlife and natural beauty with our fantastic lineup of naturalist programs. On November 3rd, it's Mammals of Ohio, a fascinating journey into our state's furry inhabitants. For the little ones, on November 11th, it's Storytime in the Park, featuring animal tracks. Don't miss National Take a Hike Day on November 18th, a 2-mile trek to celebrate the great outdoors. And throughout the month, explore nuts, seeds, and much more. Come to Burroughs State Park and immerse yourself in nature's splendor. Join us this November at Burroughs State Park. Check their website or call naturalist Julie Gee at 740-818-4530 for all the details.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym. Stands for greatest of all time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Nothing slows my little girl down except the stuffy nose.
Mommy.
That's why I use Sinex Children Saline from Vicks. Sinex instantly clears mucus and everyday stuffy little noses with a gentle, ultra-fine mist designed for kids. Just Sinex? Breathe. Her stuffy nose is gone for now. And so is she.
Sinex Children Saline. Sinex? Breathe. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Amanda, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is that they're so easy for the holidays. They're warm and flavorful. It's always a crowd pleaser. When I put down a nugget tray, everyone is happy.
Hey, this is Brian, and the little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is the joy that it brings to me and everybody around me during the holidays. They're warm, juicy, and delicious.
Cater the holidays with Chick-fil-A today. Available on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
The McRib is back, which means I'm suffering from a severe case of McRib FOMO fever. Luckily, I can get the McRib combo meal with McDonald's world-famous fries and an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. Plus, I can get 20% off any order of $3 or more in the McDF. It's the ultimate cure for my McRib FOMO fever. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Offer valid until 12/31/23 at participating McDonald's for a limited time. Valid once per day. Must opt in to rewards. Dr. Pepper's a registered trademark of Dr. Pepper 7-Up Inc.
Southeast Ohio weather.
Temperatures today are going to be in the low 60s across the year with mostly cloudy skies. 20% chance for a sprinkle. Tonight, rain moves in the overnight hours. And by early tomorrow morning, the rain showers working their way across the area. It'll be windy winds of the southeast at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Rain totals probably around an inch with highs in the mid to upper 50s. For 13 News, I'm Brian Hughes.
Live and local, this is Party Line with Dave Palmer on Mix 97.3 and 970 WATH.
Thank you. Good morning. I heard a disturbing story on the news this morning. And those of you that have pets, you need to be aware of this. Evidently, there is a, I don't know the proper term, but dogs are becoming ill. And it sort of sounds like a cough initially, but it gets worse and worse, and they can die. And so I don't want to create an alarm. Our veterinarians are very busy. But if you have a pet dog and you love it as much as I love mine, you better be alert, okay? And I think as much publicity is hitting this thing right now, we may have more information very soon about what may be causing it, what may be a treatment for it, that sort of thing. But so far, they've just announced an illness for dogs. Now, Steve, have you found something?
Well, they don't even have a name for it yet.
No.
And it's affecting several states as we speak, and it's described exactly as you have described it. It starts off with a cough that gets worse and worse. Older dogs are especially susceptible to this disease, and cases have been reported in at least four states, Colorado, Massachusetts, Oregon, and Rhode Island, but experts suspect that the illness is much more widespread, something to definitely keep your eye on.
Yeah. And when you think of the four you just named, you know, they are not all in one place. They're all spread out.
That's really strange. You'd think it would be more centralized or whatever, but it's not. But people take their dogs with them everywhere these days.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's see here. India's daughters. Let's do this as a topic. Let's see, this is from the New York Times, and Amanda Taub, who is one of their reporters, was part of a Times team that has spent the past 2 years reporting on major economic challenge for India's gender inequality. Okay, so the first section, India's Daughters. There is one change, so simple that it can be described in just 6 words, that could lift millions of people out of poverty and expand the world's fifth largest economy. Get more Indian women paid jobs. In many other countries, female labor force participation has propelled economic growth. But India has one of the world's lowest rates of formal employment for women. The percentage of women doing paid work has dropped sharply in recent years. Last year, 24% had a paid job. That's down from 29% back in 2010. In China, by comparison, that rate is about 60%. That's really odd.
It is, especially given the fact that you read so much about how India has been marching forward in terms of progress. And I suppose they have. I have no idea what this percentage would have been 20 years ago. But lots of things in India are happening that are positive, but this is definitely an area that needs work. According to this here, Indian women on average earn 64% of what their male counterparts earn for the same occupation and level of qualification. Unacceptable.
Every month, the writer of this article says, I read a statistic somewhere about how our gross domestic product is losing out because we don't have productive workers in the workforce. And by that, they mean women. There's an economist at the World Bank. That has been saying this statement, but changing that is easier than actually done. Risk versus reward. One problem is India's jobless growth. Although the country has some big companies, especially in technology, they are clustered in a few large cities. Much of the country's recent economic growth has been concentrated in small, family-owned firms that employ few outsiders. That has had pronounced effects for women because it reinforces the patriarchal norms that keep them at home. In societies like India that place a big premium on family honor, which depends on female members' reputations for chastity, letting an unmarried daughter work outside the home can seem risky because unsupervised contact with men could lead to jeopardize her reputation. Well, the result is what Alice Evans, a lecturer at King's College in London, calls the patrilineal trap. Even many families that would like their daughters to have jobs are afraid of the reputational cost of being the first to try. You're like, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
Going on, in many countries, Evans said, the patrilineal trap breaks when the economy creates enough well-paying, reliable jobs to make paid work extremely attractive. As more young women move to cities for jobs, the norms shift, and letting a daughter work no longer seems as risky. And that's what has started to happen in Bangladesh, for instance. But in India, the trap is still too powerful for most to escape. That can have catastrophic consequences. Without a way to earn a living, many women cannot escape violent marriages. Marital rape is not criminalized in India, and thousands of women are killed each year by their husbands or in-laws. Oh, I was unaware of this. This is awful. Well, let's see. The next paragraph is entitled Uncertainties Cost. If you were going to bet on a young woman to make it out of the trap, you might think Aarti Kumari, the academic superstar of her village in Bihar, a rural state on the border of Nepal, would be a good one to back. When she was growing up, her friends and relatives used superlatives to describe her. Things like the smartest, the strongest, the most determined. While other girls in her village married in their late teens, Aarti finished high school and enrolled in college. But there were few jobs near her home, and traveling to another city for work seemed too precarious. She and her family worried that she might be left with nothing if she took the financial and reputational risks of moving, but then couldn't land a good job or was fired. Only federal government jobs, which effectively offer lifetime tenure in India, seem to offer enough security to counterbalance the risks. Aarti set her sights on winning one, but many other young people had the same idea. And since 2014, there has been an average of only 3 government jobs for every 1,000 young Indians pursuing one. Well, this is a lengthy story. You can read more about it in the New York Times. I can tell you she took the exam, and more than once, but she never made the cut. And in the meantime, the pressure of this trap grew stronger. And society pushed her into a arranged marriage and stuff like that. It's just really unfortunate. And it makes us feel blessed also that we live in a country that, sure, we have our problems, but so many other countries have so much more severe problems. All right, let's see. Anything catch your eye over there?
Well, I've got a couple of local things of note to mention and something regarding flu season. First up here, the Southeast Ohio Food Bank, a program of Hocking Athens Perry Community Action, will distribute food for Athens County residents from 10 until noon. This is going to be at Nelsonville York High School, and this is going to be taking place on the 22nd, so that would be on Wednesday. To access food assistance, an ID and proof of residency no more than 60 days old is required. Pre-registration is recommended, and you can do that at freshtrack.com. For more information on the program, you can call up the Southeast Ohio Food Bank at 740-385-6813. And we have this. The City of Athens will perform water tank maintenance in the Blackburn area this week, throughout this week, during the time residents in that area may experience low pressure, and there is a possibility if repairs have to be made, if there are some lines that have been are going to have to be compromised, of course, then you could see some boil orders issued later on this week, which will hopefully not impact all of the stuff that's coming up at the end of the week. Keep our fingers crossed. Now, getting to the flu season, I was reading a report this morning that it's already beginning to ramp up, and seven states are reporting high levels of illness, with a number of cases rising in parts of the country, other parts of the country as well. According to statistics, in the United States, about 35% of adults and 33% of children have been vaccinated. So this ramp up is a bit early. It typically starts up in December or January. The report also says that this year's flu vaccine aligns very closely with the prevalent virus that is going on right now. Experts are still saying that if you haven't been vaccinated, it's still a wise precaution to get taken care of here before we start seeing huge spikes in this area. And as always, knowing that there are people very likely to be around you wherever you are this week, and with families getting together for the holidays and friends coming together and things like that, you're going to be thrown together with people, some who might be feeling 100%, others who are coming to the party a little bit under the weather. Make sure you wash your hands a lot and take every precaution you can to avoid it. There's nothing, the flu is just, ugh. It's been a while, knock on wood, but I'll tell you something, there's not too many things, illnesses that I've had in this life that I find to be more debilitating than the flu. The last time I had it, I think it had me down hard for a good 2 weeks, and I didn't feel well.
2 weeks?
Oh, it was bad. Wow. I don't think I felt absolutely perfect again for another 2 months. It seemed like I had a low-grade fever and that bronchitis that I always get when I get a bad cold. So get a vaccine if you haven't. And take care of some business there.
Folks, I want to add something, and it's an entirely different topic. What is normalcy anymore? Normalcy is a cell phone, a laptop, all that sort of thing. Odds are strong that you've received a suspicious phone call or a text message or an email. And we hope that you question each of these. And some of them are legit, and there is some value to working with them. But many of them can be a scam. And, every day data brokers profit from your sensitive info, like your phone number, your date of birth, social security number, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Use caution. Don't be careless, okay? And I think you get the idea of what I'm talking about.
Identity theft is a huge problem. It continues to be a huge problem. It causes a lot of issues for people who have been compromised. Let me tell you something. It is a battle to put things right, and it's not cheap. For those who are uninsured, you can spend thousands of dollars trying to get things returned to normalcy after you've been compromised, and it's so invasive, which is why it's always wise to make sure that you shred proprietary information, statements, and things like that. You should never throw anything in the garbage can right now that contains any type of information that is sensitive to you and yours, like social security numbers, account numbers for checking or savings, addresses, phone numbers, things like that. You want to be very, very careful how you dispose of them and make sure you dispose of them properly.
And, most most of our financial institutions or whatever have apps, right? Applications that you can load onto your phone or your computer. And you got to make sure you keep those secure. All right, well, let's see here. What's the weather like?
Well, today's weather is going to be deteriorating as we move through the day. Right now, temperature-wise, we've warmed up considerably since first thing this morning. 42 degrees in Athens. Skies are kind of hazy right now. Some breaks in the cloud cover. They're calling for partly cloudy skies this morning. Becoming cloudy this afternoon, a bit breezy, highs in the middle 50s. Tonight, we are expecting some rain to develop after midnight. Overnight lows near 43, about a quarter of an inch of rain is expected. As we move through the week towards the holiday weekend, conditions look as if they will be drier once we get past Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for that matter. The skies are going to be partly cloudy to cloudy. There is no significant threat of rain, although there's possibility for a drop or two. Temperatures are going to be in the mid-40s to mid-50s throughout that period. Overnight lows are going to be in the upper 20s and low 30s. So pretty much typical weather for this time of the year. But if you're planning on going to some of the many parades that are going on in the local municipalities, it looks as if you can expect at least drier weather, a little bit on the cool side perhaps. But it does not look as if we are in for any significant rainfall once we get past the next 18 to 24 hours, Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Cloudy to partly cloudy with just a slight chance of rain.
Fair enough. Well, Thanksgiving's coming right up. Mm-hmm. And we get to see some of our relatives that we don't see as often as normal. Steve, thank you.
My pleasure. Do we have a guest tomorrow lined up? Or
I don't know. I'll have to take a look later.
Well, thank you, sir. And we will have another party line tomorrow. And thanks for joining us.
You bet.
Hi, I'm Kim.
And this is Ruth. Please join us every Wednesday morning on 970 WJZM.